We pick up our studies today in Colossians chapter 4, verse 14. Colossians chapter 4, verse 14. And we find again two names here that have some great and interesting lessons for us. And the first man that we see is the familiar name of Luke. So let's begin with what he says about Luke, the beloved physician. Luke was not only a Christian, he was, by practice, a medical doctor. This is the only time in the New Testament where we found this stated. There's some interesting things about Luke being a doctor and Luke's work in the gospel and his association with the Apostle Paul. In the first place, he is a medical doctor. His profession was to help people to feel better and to get better in their health. But this doctor saw the Apostle Paul and some others do things to help other people be cured of their illnesses, which he as a doctor could not do. We also find that when we think about Luke, the doctor, the Christian, that just because there were miracles of healing in the New Testament didn't mean that there was no place for human medical care. In Matthew 9, 12 and 13, Jesus said that they that are sick need a physician. Even though Jesus worked miracles and his apostles worked miracles, still there was a need for medical care. And Luke, as we find here, was a doctor. The Good Samaritan cared. He extended medical care as far as he could to help the man who was beaten half to death in Luke chapter 10, 25 through 37. It's interesting also that Luke was an educated man, but he was also humble. He served with the Apostle Paul, and he waited on him. He assisted the Apostle Paul. Luke didn't see himself as being a man who was to take charge of the situation and was to be the center of attention and had to be in control. And Luke definitely was not an arrogant doctor. He was a humble servant as well as being, as Paul says, a beloved physician. So God used this man, Luke, to write many things in the New Testament. As a matter of fact, God used this man to write more than anyone else in the New Testament. Now, Paul and John wrote more books, but in terms of length, in terms of page-for-page content, Luke wrote more than anybody else did, because Luke is the author of the long book, the book of Luke, and also the long book, the book of Acts. And Paul calls him beloved, the beloved physician. Paul loved this man. Paul depended on him. And you'll remember that at the very end of Paul's life, in 2 Timothy 4, verse 11, Paul said, "Only Luke is with me." So he was very loyal to Paul and very helpful to him. He is the beloved physician because Paul loved him and other Christians loved him as well. Then there's another man mentioned in Luke chapter 4, verse 14. His name is Demas. Now, here we have a man whose life story is the reverse of some that we have seen in this book. For instance, in chapter 4, verse 9, Paul mentions Onesimus. Onesimus was a bondservant who had run away from his master. And so Paul said in the past he had been unprofitable, but now he's useful in the service of Christ and also to his master. So he was doing better because he had changed his life. And then in verse 10, we see that John Mark is a good example of somebody that in the past had not done what he could have done and should have done, but he was doing better, and Paul recognized that. And as a matter of fact, these brethren in the church at Colossae, these Colossian brethren themselves were a good example of people that in the past had been sinful, but they'd turned their lives around and now they were new people in Christ. But when we look at Demas, we see just the opposite. Now, for instance, here in Colossians 4, verse 14, he is working with Paul. Notice in verse 14, he says, "Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you." So, in other words, Demas was helping Paul at this point. He's associated with the Apostle Paul. He's participating in the work. And we also find in the book of Philemon that Demas is mentioned alongside of Luke again and some other people in the gospel. Now, sadly, what happened later is that this same man gave in to temptation. He's doing well right now, but later the Bible shows that something sad happened. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10, the Bible says that as Paul penned his last epistle, as Paul knew that he was shortly going to leave this world, he said these words in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10, "For Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world." And what a reminder that is to anybody that this can happen to any Christian. Demas was around some of the best Christians in the world, the Apostle Paul, Luke, and these other faithful workers in the church. But the pleasures of this world kept pulling at him until he gave in. So we all need to be aware. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, the Bible says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world." And in Matthew 26, 41, Jesus said, "Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit truly is willing, but the flesh is weak." Now then, let's go on to verse 15. Paul says, "Now to salute certain brethren." He sends greetings from certain people in the verses before, but now he sends greetings from himself and from these brethren to certain people that he mentions now. He says in verse 15, "Salute the brethren which are in Laodicea." So Paul sends greetings to the nearby church at Laodicea. Remember that Laodicea is not far from where the Colossian church is. So he says, "I'd like for you to send greetings to them, tell them hello, and send these salutations." And then he mentions Nymphas and the church which is in his house. Now we find this expression, the church that is in his house or the church that is in their house, in other passages. For instance, in Romans 16, verse 5, Paul talks about Priscilla and Aquila. And he mentions the fact that Aquila and Priscilla had laid down their lives. They had laid down their necks for the Apostle Paul. They risked their lives for the Apostle Paul. So there was a close association. There was a close friendship and love and loyalty that they had with the Apostle Paul. Remember that Paul worked with them when he was in Corinth because they were of the same occupation that Paul was. They were tent makers by trade. And so Paul had a great association with these people. Well, the Bible says in Romans 16, verse 5, that Paul mentions the church that is in their house. That's Romans 16, verse 5. And then in 1 Corinthians 16, verse 19, he again mentions the church that is in their house, again speaking of Aquila and Priscilla. And though one view might be that Paul is saying that the church or the body of Christ is in that family because there are Christians in that home, it's more usual in the New Testament for the word church in this kind of context to refer to a congregation. And that would mean that the congregation was small and was actually meeting or assembling for worship in their house. And this happens today. There are congregations of the Lord's church that are so small that they don't need to or cannot afford to have a building of their own called a church building. And so they meet in a house. They meet in an apartment. There are congregations of the Lord's people throughout some Asian countries that are meeting in apartments and meeting in homes because they are that small. And sometimes that even happens here in our country as well. So this is something that is not unusual even in our time. The Bible goes on to say in verse 16, "And when this epistle is read among you, cause that it be read also in the church of the Laodiceans, and that likewise you read the epistle from Laodicea." Now, in the first place, let's notice that Paul mentions the reading of this epistle. He says, "When this epistle is read among you." Now, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 27, Paul said, "I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read unto all the holy brethren." Now, what he's talking about in particular here is the public reading of this epistle and these other letters as well in the worship assembly while everybody is gathered. Now, obviously, when these letters were sent out, copies were made, and individuals privately and in their homes read these parts of Scripture. But in these contexts, in these passages that we're looking at, Paul is especially recommending, he is giving instructions for them to read aloud, to read publicly these epistles in the worship assembly. And so in the book of Colossians, what we find is that Paul gives four chapters in our edition of the Bible, a letter that's that long. And so when this epistle was originally written and sent to and received by the church of the Colossians, then some brother or some brethren stood up and they read that entire epistle to that congregation. And again, this is something that we find is common in the New Testament. And actually, it follows a practice that was a part of synagogue services. In Luke chapter 4, the Bible says that Jesus stood up to read, and he read part of the Scriptures. In Acts 13, verse 15 and following, Paul and Barnabas are at Antioch in the synagogue, and the Bible says, after the reading of the law and the prophets, then they invited Paul or Barnabas to speak. And so what happened was is that there was a usual part, there was a routine part of the synagogue service, which was the reading of a certain part of that Old Testament. And so sometimes in the New Testament, you'll find that the reading, the public reading of the Bible, of a certain section of the Bible, is recommended and is talked about in these passages. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 13, Paul said, "Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, and to doctrine." And the reading there in that context, again, is the public reading of the Scriptures in the worship assembly. So Paul says, I want you to read this. I want you to read this letter to the church. This is something that is a practical lesson and exhortation for churches today, for preachers, elders, and others that participate in the worship services. Sometimes today, people shy away from simply reading the Bible in the worship assembly, and that is sad. That is a tragic mistake. The Bible says also that Paul said, cause that it, that is this epistle, be read also in the church of the Laodiceans, which was nearby. And notice that he says, cause that it be read in the church. And the word church there would refer to the church worship assembly, when the church has come together, like Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and 1 Corinthians chapter 14. So when the Laodicean church assembled together, then they were to read this epistle in their worship assembly as well. So what we find here then is that these epistles that were written, these New Testament letters, were circulated. In other words, the Colossians shared their letter with other churches, and other churches shared their letters together. And so although these letters did not always deal with the same things, some differences were there. When you put all of these letters and all of these New Testament books together, all 27 of them, then you have the full and complete doctrine of Christ. And whether the one that is the epistle from Laodicea is what Jesus addressed to them in Revelation chapter 3, verses 14 through 21, or whether it's like the epistle that Paul referred to in 1 Corinthians 5, verse 9, that is not preserved in the Bible, we're not told. But what we do know is that we have all that we need today in the New Testament. And so in verse 17 and 18, Paul closes by saying, "And say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it, the salutation by the hand of me, Paul. Remember my bonds. Grace be with you. Amen."